Welcome back to Living in the 60s and our first episode of Season 3. Craig, it's hard to believe we're already in Season 3, and we hope everyone will enjoy this year's episode.
Tom, it has been really fun doing the podcast, and we hope our listeners are enjoying the memories we've shared with them. And thank you to those listeners who keep sharing their ideas, and we hope to hear from more of them again this year. All right, Tom, why don't you start us off with this episode?
Okay, here we go, Craig. Let's talk about Main Street in America. What it was like in the 60s, what type of businesses there were, the jobs that were popular, and within this episode compared to today, we really get an idea of how things really had changed.
Yeah, that's right. So let's take a walk, stroll right down America here in the 1960s.
We're walking.
We're walking, but actually we're driving either my car or truck. And first we got to do is fill it up with gas.
Yes, sir.
And remember the question always was, do you want ethyl, which is known as premium, or do you want regular, which was less money, and it still got us there, so I always put in regular. Now, you don't have to get out of the car to pump your own gas these days in
no?
the 60s. No. You pull in, you hear the ding, ding, ding when you go across the little black hose there, and for a few seconds, you'll see a clean-cut-looking gentleman come running out, sometimes in his white spick-spec uniform, and he'll say, what type of gas would you like? And you tell him that, and then he fills up the gas. He washes your windshield. He checks your oil. He checks the air in your tires, and you'll pay him usually with cash. Not too much credit cards back in the days, and you're on your way. By the way, gas was about 28 cents a gallon for regular and 32 cents for premium.
Be nice if we had that today, wouldn't it?
Oh, man. Now, if you need a car repaired, well, usually they do it at the station there. A local mechanic was always around, got the job done, and usually got it done the right time the first time.
A jack of all trades,
that's
right?
It, yeah.
Yep. Kids always think, always tried to get their dad to go into stations. You know, I remember when I was little, and we wanted various things like sports cards and your favorite ball players, your favorite teams. We were looking at the Twins. Team schedules, remember those were popular?
Yeah, right.
Pennants.
Right.
Drinking glasses. Your favorite toys and trucks. And, of course, Mom loved the Gold Bond stamps and the S&H stamps that you get. And they had stamps as well.
Oh, that's right.
And remember the dinosaurs. They'd have those dinosaurs.
Yeah, Dino the Dinosaur.
Yeah.
Right? Sinclair.
And yep. Sinclair, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And those were all to get people in and to have fun that way. And I still have some of my memorabilia of baseball stuff, of the Twins and beautiful things there. And they're pretty nice. So, now remember those stations too, Craig? Standard Oil?
Yep.
Union 76?
Yep.
Texaco? How about that one?
Yeah.
You can trust your car to the man who wears
the
star.
That's right.
The big, bright Texaco star.
That's right. You're right.
Yeah, we just talked about the mascot, the Sinclair, and the plastic dinosaurs. I wanted dinosaurs so much, and I just loved them.
Yep.
Beginning, of course, in the early 70s, the full-service gas stations faded out and were replaced by?
Us. We have to do it ourselves now, right?
Right.
Hey, as we walk down Main Street, over there to your right is a bank. Great institution that held our money. And what was it like back in the 60s? The banks were all over, but no drive-thrus. Always a friendly teller to greet you as you walk in.
Right.
And not much going on with computers back then, but they took pride in that personal touch, knowing the customer's name by name. And do you remember something called a passbook?
I do.
You probably still have it, right?
I might. I bet you do.
So that was a savings book about the size of a passport that you put your money in, you write it down, and print out the deposit date and new amounts or balance. You were so proud of your little passbook, and you'd visit with the personal banker just like you did today, but he would assist you where you could put your money, and really was more of a personal touch than what you get today.
And it was so cool because you'd come in, and if you had jobs or summer jobs, or you looked at things, and you'd be able to see each week, you get a little bit more, a little bit more, and you don't want to take it out. So it was it was pretty neat. And it was competitive back then. Yep. Customers had to be, they offered continuity gifts.
That's right.
Remember sets of dishes and really nice plates, cups, saucers, silverware, place settings. Remember the goblet glasses?
Absolutely.
Dessert plates and so much more, of course. And that was when we didn't eat with paper plates.
Well, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, the hook, you could get one or two per visit or deposit back then. And of course, I made moms happy when she could get books for the kids. Remember those? They were encyclopedias.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
There were adults, the clocks. Remember the neat clocks they had?
Right.
And some small, even some small pieces of furniture like lamps
as
well.
That's right. So in our family, you know, before paper plates were popular, there were so many dishes and cups. And then we did have some of the clocks and more that I'm sure are still around today at some thrift store. If you go to Goodwill or Salvation Army, you probably see some of those old bank clocks, if you will.
Oh, yeah. They're nice.
And back then, we really didn't see much telephone banking because, again, you wanted to go in and talk to the teller face-to-face.
Right.
And back then in the 60s, ATMs... they really didn't hit the industry until the last part of the decade, the last part of the 60s. We talked about that in one of our other podcasts. But before, no ATMs.
And how about the names of the banks back then? Farmers and Mechanics.
Yes.
Remember that?
F&M.
Yep. Midwest Federal. The Twin City Federal. Wells Fargo. And, of course, smaller banks today were bought up by the larger banks or turned into them.
Right.
Now, it won't be long before technology would revolutionize the industry big time. Going into the next business, I know that many of you have a lot of relatives in the local grocery store, okay?
Right.
And who
hasn't
worked in a grocery store,
right?
And great memories, great stories like Red Owl, Country Club Markets, Penny's. How about Thriftway?
And what about Piggly Wiggly?
Piggly Wiggly, absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. That was, there were so many and they were so competitive.
Yeah.
And they were such locally run markets. They were terrific. If you wanted something, you'd get a great cuts of meat and the people were very, very big on it. And it was wonderful to work with. Competition at its best with newspaper advertising.
That's right.
That was the main thing for grocery stores. Advertised touting the lowest prices on an item. And, of course, it brought shoppers to pick the best bargains. Remember coupons? We had coupons and manufacturers' coupons. That was big. And the customers also created by Kurt Carlson was the Gold Bond Stamp Company.
Sure.
Now, if you shopped for groceries, you couldn't miss by getting your Gold Bond or S&H green stamps, right?
Yeah, right. And, you know, I think about the competitive advertisement. I remember seeing the Star Tribune newspaper. One side of the paper would have Red Owl, and the other side would have, you know, Penny's or whatever competitive grocery stores right on the, you know, opposite pages. So you could see some competitive pricing, which was great. When you mentioned green Gold Bond stamp, I think of one of my jobs. It was short-lived, but it was over the Christmas time, and I actually worked in the fulfillment side of Gold Bond Stamp Company over in Golden Valley, Minnesota, and it was crazy because that's when people were turning in their all their Gold Bond stamp books that they had saved all year or
the
many
redemption
years
center, right.
For redemption. So here was Christmas time. And we're throwing all these Gold Bond stamp books around, and then I'm filling orders with Christmas stuff, and it was crazy. But you remember that book? You'd always have a nice catalog of what can I get with my Gold Bond stamps, right? And you had to collect like 100 million to get even a suitcase or something. But anyway, it was a great marketing, marketing tool.
It was this is funny. We've had many coincidences with us from draft numbers and that type of thing with you and I.
Right.
You were 290. I was 296. You were 295.
Right.
But here's another thing. My summer job also was with Gold Bond Stamp Company, a Kurt Carlson company.
Okay.
My job was in the back room. I was in the back room.
Okay.
I was counting the stamps as they came in. Not individually. I counted the books in bundles of 10. So semis would come in. They'd lay them out. We would lay them out all in front of us. And then someone would double check them. And we'd count and then get double checked. Now, after the counting was done, there was a bin that we'd throw all the Gold Bond stamps in to be destroyed.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
A huge conveyor belt with a shredder. And there was one guy that worked back there, and he had masks, but I don't know how good they were.
Oh, wow. Back
and
he in would that day, probably
inhale
not.
All that stuff.
Right.
And he really earned his money as he inhaled the dust.
Yeah. So, like we talked about, the coupons for the grocery stores were a big pull for them. They also had the continuity programs where, you know, come on in and spend so much, you get a free table setting, glassware, cookware with each visit. And again, they tied it into Gold Bond stamps or S&H stamps. And the checkouts back then, there's no way they had the scanners like they do today.
No.
So each thing had to be entered. And, you know, that was a very tedious job at the time. And imagine standing in line like we do today. Imagine how long you had to stand in line when that had to be manually entered.
Awfully good with that keyboard.
That's right.
And, you know, at the items went down the belt.
Yeah, that's right.
And a friendly dressed person, looked nice, a bag person, and would bag your groceries for you. Remember that?
Oh, absolutely.
And then they'd wheel out on a large cart, usually with two wheels, to your car. Wheel them out, put them in your car.
Yeah, that's right.
And I remember Mom saying, we have to keep the grocery budget for around $100 a week.
Oh, boy.
That was it for the family of, say, four.
Right, right.
So it's something.
That's a lot back then. And and besides the grocery store, usually there was a drugstore, corner drugstore. And, of course, that had everything that you wanted. Some of the names that come to mind, Snyder Drug, home of the Super Buy. And featuring one special buy of the week was Snyder Brothers Drug. Reed's Drug was another popular name, Walgreens. And let's not forget our friends out in South Dakota, Waldrug. And I mean, that's still a real tourist attraction today. Your local drugstore was the only place to go get your prescription filled. There wasn't any Target, Costco, anything like that. It was all done right at that drugstore. And you knew that pharmacist. Like banking, it was a very personal touch back in those days.
And you know, Craig, I worked later on for Red Owl and for Country Stores Foods. And they were two companies that were wonderful companies, sister companies.
Sure.
The people were so friendly, so good, corporately, in stores, the service. I can't say enough about how good those type of companies, all those companies, really were, and how wonderful they are. You know, popular additions to the drugstores included soda fountains, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The old-fashioned counter where you'd pull up a chair and get great ice cream, a banana split, hot fudge, almost anything you wanted or to drink, and you'd have a real cherry Coke. With a cherry.
Yes.
There was nothing like that one.
Yeah, that's right.
And the drugstores at the time had an area loaded with small toys, candy, not quite as much as 5 or 10 cents is what they cost. And then there was dime stores, too, or with Woolworths, stores like that with plenty to choose from.
Right. And they called them five and dime stores, right?
Yep. Yeah. Well, my favorite place to go.
Yeah. And again, most of the drugstores would advertise in newspapers on Sundays and some on Wednesdays. And don't forget, they weren't open on Sundays. Remember? Drugstores, grocery stores, department stores, nothing.
Nothing.
No.
Yep. Sundays was off.
Sundays was off. You could also pick up a bottle of RC Cola on the way out.
My favorite.
I know. I loved RC Cola. And you'd ride off with a friend on a hot summer day. Those are great memories.
You know, Craig, we could talk more about additional stores that make up Main Street, the very ones in our neighborhood that were such a big part of us. And we're going to bring those up in another podcast because they are so much fun. It's such memories that we're bringing in.
Yeah, good times. Again, one of the best generations, or we think the best generation to grow up in. And we want to invite you to continue participate with us with your ideas and share memories of the 60s by going to livinginthe60s at myyahoo.com. That's livinginthe60s at myyahoo.com.
Be sure to share these things with us. We really like to hear from you guys, and we'll put them on other podcasts. So we've had a blast, and right now it's time to bug out.